This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Whitney Pittman and Sierra Doctor filing stories as well. Scattered rains are being seen at this hour in southeastern North Dakota. More significant storms are happening in northeastern South Dakota and into west central Minnesota, including Milbank, Morris, Benson, Granite Falls, and Glenwood. Rains are also happening in parts of northwest North Dakota. Severe storms remain a possibility throughout the day, especially south of I-94 and into eastern South Dakota and western Minnesota. The National Weather Service says there is the possibility of hail and winds up to 60 miles per hour. And even with that moisture, there are areas still dealing with drought. We'll get the latest update in the drought monitor later today. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more on what's going on with the long-term weather outlook.
SDSU Extension State Climatologist Laura Edwards says there's cooler than normal temperatures and a chance of moisture in the long-term outlook.
You know, I think it's a good time for both corn and soybeans. You know, we're in that grain fill period, which is really a moisture intensive, really needs good moisture in this time of its development and the reproductive season. So this is determining the size of the kernels of corn, the size of the beans and the pods. I believe the number of kernels and beans in the pod have already basically been determined by the plants for the most part. But now, you know, this what we call the grain fill period, and this is a point where really this moisture will help.
Edwards says there's a chance of more moisture in parts of South Dakota in the 10-day forecast.
To look out ahead, again, the next 6 to 10 days, in about a week from now, we do see that northeast corner of the state slightly favored towards wetter conditions. With the rest of South Dakota and North Dakota, generally just near normal for the chances of precipitation and that 6 to 10-day time period. As we look out, you know, 1 to 2 weeks from now, so that week of August 16th, you know, we see better chances of rainfall across North Dakota, northern Minnesota, and then more focused in northern and western South Dakota.
Reporting Agriculture's Business. I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Summit Carbon Solutions has secured 80% of the voluntary easements for its pipeline route in North Dakota. Summit also announcing it will resubmit its application to the North Dakota Public Utilities Commission and will consider rerouting the pipeline to address concerns about their location. Summit Carbon Solutions is partnering with 34 Midwestern ethanol plants for a carbon capture and storage project in North Dakota. The biofuels industry is awaiting the Treasury Department's guidance on the fuels that qualify for the Sustainable Aviation Fuel Tax Credit. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper is focused on the methodology.
You might remember the IRA bill established a tax credit for SAF that's worth as much as $1.75 a gallon. So again, a very powerful incentive. And we've been saying all along that we need to make sure the modeling, the carbon modeling that is done to qualify or disqualify different fuels, that it's science-based and that it's transparent, that it's using the latest data and science.
Cooper said the biofuels industry is facing a familiar foe in this battle over sustainable aviation fuel.
The opposition is being stirred up by organizations that simply do not want the SAF opportunity to be open to farmers and crop-based biofuels. It's the same group of organizations that have been stirring up the food versus fuel myth and stirring up the land use change myth for the last 15 years.
Politico is reporting House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson and farm state lawmakers are reaching out to the Freedom Caucus to avoid a fight over the farm bill. Conservative members proposing cuts to the food stamp program. In an interview with the Red River Farm Network last week, Thompson said he's committed to getting the bill done on time.
You know, we'll see. We always do see some amendments on the floor. and which can be more challenging. They're brought forward by people who unfortunately really don't understand the implications of perhaps what they're asking for. But that's, you know, that's kind of my job, to lead us through that process.
The USDA has released land value data showing price increases for farm ground. Acres and Shares broker Jason Menke says right now it's difficult to tell exactly what ag sale trends are in this area, but the farmers remain the majority of the sellers.
One of the things I think people in this industry are concerned about is we're probably looking at a place where the land values may have plateaued. If you look at the commodity prices, I mean, they've decreased and have really been all over the board. So, you know, depending on where people are at, our farmers are at with with marketing and profitability, you know, that'll be kind of one of the keys heading into fall. Most of the land or farmland is really sold from fall till spring. So we'll really have a better indication in the next you know, month or two as we get some fall land sales under our belt.
Correction, the majority of buyers are farmers. Menke says the amount of land on the market may be leveling out.
You know, at the beginning of the run the past couple of years, we maybe had more sellers who felt like they missed out at the highs a decade ago. And, you know, there's still, I would say, you know, looking at land for sale in the area, there's maybe average to a little bit below average, you know, land coming up for sale that's out there right now. So we might be back to more of, you know, generational type transactions. Over my 23-year career, you know, I would say a majority of my business has been out-of-state landowners.
NDSU Extension reports soybean aphid populations are continuing to expand in eastern North Dakota. The problem is even greater on the Minnesota side of the river. The treatment decision for soybean aphids is most critical when the plant is in the late vegetative or early reproductive stages. Canola farmers are being encouraged to check their fields for flea beetles and any potential pod feeding. Flea beetle injury on pods is usually most significant on the late-planted canola and the upper pods. Fortunately, most of the yields comes from the lower pods of the canola plant. The NDSU Crop and Pest Report out this morning says this injury can result in poor seed fill, premature pod drying, or pod shatter. Brugler Marketing President Alan Brugler says while weather is having an impact on trade, traders are also watching for that supply-demand report out tomorrow.
Well, at this point, it is mostly what's USDA going to tell us for yield on Friday, and are they going to have to make any demand adjustments? We know ethanol production's doing okay, but exports aren't for corn, and that's actually true for soybeans right now. Some disappointment that we're not getting a lot of Chinese buying here in mid-August, because they usually are ramping up U.S. purchases for full delivery.
In preparation for tomorrow's USDA crop production report, the National Agricultural Statistics Service will be reviewing survey data and the latest information from the Farm Service Agency and Risk Management Agency for small grains. If this review justifies changes, NAS will publish updated planted acreage estimates for barley, oats, durum, spring wheat, and winter wheat on Friday. Going forward, USDA will review data for soybeans and sugar beets in September, canola, dry beans, and sunflowers in October. North Dakota Dry Bean Council Representative Joshua Irie says prevent plant programs like the harvest price option could use some revamping to fit dry bean growers better.
We are supporting the purchase, the ability, not the able to purchase, but the ability to use a contract price versus the spring price. In certain situations where dry beans, malting barley, specialty crops, where you have a contract issued, where you'd be able to use that price instead of the established spring price. For dry bean producers, if you have certain classes of beans that maybe have a yield drag, but they're paying a higher premium because of that yield drag, you'd be able to lock in that additional revenue to make up for that yield drag. So the profitability would still be there.
Nearly half of all farmers using a cover crop received some sort of incentive payment this past year. The American Seed Trade Association, USDA, and Conservation Technology Information Center conducted a survey of nearly 800 farmers in 49 states. 78% of the farmers who have not adopted cover crops said an incentive payment would be helpful. 24 farm and renewable fuel organizations have signed off on a letter to EPA asking the agency's approval of year-round sales of E15. Earlier this week, the attorney generals from Iowa and Nebraska filed a lawsuit over that same issue. Groups from Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota are also represented on that letter to the Environmental Protection Agency. As we check in on the markets this morning, we are higher. The markets are working, of course, ahead of tomorrow's supply-demand report, and this could be a significant report. We're 4.25 cents higher for Minneapolis wheat for the September contract at 824. Chicago wheat, September, 638.25, 3.25 higher. Hard red winter wheat, same contract, 6.75 higher. SEP corn, 1.5 higher, 482.5. New crop corn, 495.5, 1.25 higher. And in soybeans, the September contract, 1360, 4.75 cents higher. The November new crop soybeans, 1315.5. That's a 7 cent gain. And the Dow right now is, crude right now is trading down 48 cents at 83.92. We were seeing some prices we haven't seen for quite a while yesterday in that marketplace as far as crude oil. As we check in on the farm calendar, the American Coalition for Ethanol has opened registration for its 36th annual conference. That event will be taking place August 23rd through the 25th. That will be held in Minneapolis. The South Dakota Cattlemen's Association having their regional roundup events coming up on August 28th. They'll be at the Mobridge area. They'll be talking with the representatives of the South Dakota Cattlemen Association Board and other policy issues during that event. The University of Minnesota Soybean Research Center Field Day and Research Symposium is coming up on August 31st. That will be taking place at the St. Paul campus. And, of course, the South Dakota State Fair in Huron, that starts on the 31st as well. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.